everybody, and welcome back. This week, I wanted to tackle something or discuss something that seemed to be a common thread as I talked to moms during the convention season last year. And that was really talking about discouragement. I think that it's a tool that Satan uses to get to all of us as moms. And I thought if we talked about it in the summer, because it's nice outside and the change of pace may give us a little bit of break, this may be a time when you're not quite so much in the throes of it, which may then get you ahead of it for the next round. So that was kind of my thinking in that. One thing I do want to throw out before I jump in, though, kind of as a preliminary note, is one of the things that is so awesome about Teach Them Diligently 365 is it is an avenue for us really to pour into each other's lives. So if there's something on your heart right now, please don't ever hesitate to send me a note. If you need to talk, let me know that. It really is my great privilege to serve you, to pray for you, and to just be available for you in any way that I can. Another really great tool that comes with your membership is a monthly meetup that we have, and there are young moms and older moms and all kinds of people that participate in that, and it is a great time to share our hearts and share our burdens and share our ideas and just laugh and talk. So I would encourage you to avail yourself of that as well. Those are two very practical things that are available to you if you're a member that may go a long way towards warding off some of this discouragement that tends to come into our lives. So that's just a side note, a little freebie on the front end. But as I was thinking and praying about discouragement, really, really wanting to delve into this, it occurred to me that there's kind of three levels to discouragement, and there's probably infinitely more, but we're gonna talk about three today. One is a very common level of discouragement for moms in general. I'm calling it kind of the hamster wheel discouragement. I feel a lot of times as a mom that I'm just on a hamster wheel. I'm running. I'm trying to do the very best that I can to serve my husband, my children, to keep my house, to be available to people that I want to serve outside of my family. And I don't always see progress. I don't always feel like anything is moving. And a trick that I think Satan tends to play on us as moms, and probably anybody, but I am a mom, I'm a homeschool mom, and I think I'm talking primarily to homeschool moms. A trick that Satan tends to play on us is to make us think that nobody even sees us. We're running on this hamster wheel, getting nowhere, we're going as fast as we can in circles, and nobody even notices. And that's something that we have to kind of cast aside. You know, the Bible talks about bringing our thoughts into captivity. That's one of those thoughts that we do need to bring into captivity, because whether any person sees or not, Jesus does. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He tells us that. So we are not going unseen. That's really kind of the first thing to thwart off discouragement of any kind, is to remember that. But in this kind of baseline discouragement where we just feel like we're going in circles and doing the same thing over and over, I would encourage you to remember your why. This is why the foundation of what you're doing is so important, and keeping it ever in front of you. Remember, there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger reason, a bigger something that you're trying to accomplish. And that's just a great way to bring those thoughts captive and to kind of refocus too. I think a lot of times we get discouraged because we just lose our way. We lose the point of what we're doing. We forget. We get so wrapped up in the minutia that we lose the fact that our children are growing and changing before our very eyes. Yes, they go one step forward, two steps back sometimes, but so do we. And I think as parents, we're real tempted to forget that. You know, we expect to see our children just go on this straight up trajectory, but none of us do that, and they aren't gonna do that either. We're running a marathon, we have a big why in mind. Bring that back into focus when you've got that hamster wheel going. One thing that David reminds me of all the time, and I've probably said this on videos before, is when I get overwhelmed, when I get into, I can't possibly do it all, blah, 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 and I'm just moaning and groaning, he reminds me, as lovingly as possible, how do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. You can't come up to this big thing and chomp down on all of it at once, it's impossible. And if you're looking at it as a whole, you're going to get discouraged. But if you remember why you're attacking this thing in the first place, your big why, your foundational reason, then you take one step, one bite at a time, and you allow God to open the next door or bring the next thing into view or show you the next bite or whatever. So for that lower level discouragement that affects us all so often, I mean, it could be day in and day out and we conquer it and it comes right back. Before that hamster wheel discouragement, remember your why. Just remember your why. Sometimes it gets a little bit more personal and we really feel like we've completely lost our way. It's those times when you kind of think that your prayers are bouncing back to you. You know, you just, I don't even feel like God sees me or hears me. And you know better, you do, I do, but our emotions are a tricky thing. So in those times of a little bit more dire discouragement, where we feel alone, we feel like even God has kind of turned aside or is dealing with something bigger than us right now, that's where reminding yourself what you know about God comes in really handy. Several weeks ago, we talked about writing our biography of God. And I hope that many of you have started that because that becomes an invaluable tool as you are working through this discouragement that is, even God doesn't see me. I've completely lost my way. I don't know what end is up, but it's not on a frantic scale like that first one, but this is on a deeper emotional scale. You know, I honestly don't see my way out of this, our way as a family out of this. It may be just a series of things that are really testing your faith and your resolve. And it just gets you to the point where you wonder, does Jesus care? And you have to remind yourself, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is filled with my grief. But that comes back to, what do you know about God? Well, we know that God is love. We know that God so loved us that he sent his son to die for us. We know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter how we feel, he doesn't do that. We know all these things. We know he's our shield. He's our protector. He's our refuge, our fortress. All of these things we can learn about God through his word. And I just encourage you once again, make that biography of God. Learn just as you're reading through the Psalms and then the rest of his word, what does the Bible tell us? We have a God that not only allows us to know him, but he wants us to know him. That's astonishing. That is such a gift. A God that wants us to know him personally like that is not going to desert us when we're discouraged. He's not. He's the creator of the universe that wants us to cry out, Abba, Father. This is a good, good God. Remind yourself of that for those times when you just feel like you've lost your way. And then finally, there are times in all of our lives where there's nothing trivial about it. There is nothing self-inflicted about it. The trials are real. The days are dark. And the waters are just rushing. And in those days, I want to encourage you to really dig deep into God's word. We're going to look at just a couple of verses in Philippians. Because as I was reading through Philippians over the last few days, which there are so many times when I've got something in my heart and then where I end up in my devotions is just so practical and perfect for what was already in my heart to share, that it tells me that God really does have a great plan for this community that he is building. And that makes my heart very, very excited and very, very thankful. But I wanted to share with you just a few things that Paul reminds the Philippians through that letter. And I want to remind you, as Paul is writing this letter, he is in prison. He's been in prison for a while. In fact, he's not going to get out of prison. He doesn't know that at that point, obviously. But this is a man who wrote the entire epistle of the Philippians telling them to rejoice and telling them to look to Jesus from prison. And I think that if you just stop to realize how dire things were for Paul, and the whole tone of this book, that reading through it during discouraging times will have a whole new effect on you anyway. But just real quick, we are actually just going to look at a few verses in chapter 4. Now, the entire book of Philippians would be good for you just to swim in those days that, or those times, they're usually more than a day, those times when you are just really, really deeply, emotionally discouraged. Find a passage that God can really use. Philippians, there's a ton of passages in Psalms. Lamentations 3, remind yourself that his mercies are new every morning and his faithfulness is so great. But for right now, let's look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 1, as he's going through all of this and he's telling them to rejoice despite circumstances, he tells them, stand firm in the Lord. Remind yourself whose you are and stand there. Bask in the glow of the one that you serve. Focus your mind. So you've got to take all the things that we've done in those lower two levels of discouragement. Remind yourself why you're pressing forward. Well, at this level, our why is much bigger. The why we're going to need to rely on is we are living for Jesus. We are pursuing a relationship with the God of the universe. That's a big why. Rehearse who we know about God becomes even more important because we need it even more desperately. Stand firm in the Lord, Paul tells the Philippians. Then in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. This is an act of the will. This is not something that is going to come easily a lot of times. This is something where you have to just make the conscious decision that you are going to rejoice. You're not going to be happy. That's a whole different thing. But you can choose to set your focus on God and rejoice in the Lord. In verse 6, he tells them to be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. He says in verse 5, the reason that we're not to be anxious is because the Lord is at hand. When you feel like he's left you, he is at hand. You know, there was a passage in I think Luke, where he recounts the two disciples walking down the road of Emmaus or to Emmaus after Jesus was crucified, and they are so discouraged. I mean, that is a level of discouragement that would be dark. They thought he was Messiah. They thought he was the answer, and he was gone. And Jesus comes and walks beside him, but they don't know it. And he's talking to him, and they are like, where have you been? How have you missed what this is? How have you missed what's going on? And finally, at the end of that account, Jesus is revealed as who he is, and he disappears. He's gone. But what did the disciples say? They say, didn't our hearts burn within us? And as I read that, I thought, you know, how often do we have our hearts burn within us and we don't really know why? Well, it's because Jesus is with us. His Holy Spirit gives us hope and gives us encouragement, even in times that are really, really dark. Because the Lord is at hand, don't be anxious. And just bringing that anxiety, those fears into under control, goes a long way towards that act of the will of rejoicing. Because if you are so anxious and if you are so worried and so frantic, it's very hard to overcome that and get to a point of rejoicing. Also in verse 6, he says to take everything to God in prayer. Everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Asking him to intervene on your behalf. Asking him for reasons. Asking him for whatever is appropriate in that situation. And then thanking him. Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you hear me. Thank you that no matter what you do, I know it's right. Because you tell me that. You tell me that you are in control and that you will work all things together for good to those that love God. This hurts. I don't want to be here. But the Lord is at hand. I will rejoice. I will be anxious for nothing. And I will take everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. And then finally, he promises in verse 7 of chapter 4 that the peace of God that passes all understanding will fill your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is a glorious promise to those who are in great despair. Because that's not something that I can explain to you. That's certainly not something that we can explain to someone who doesn't know God. Peace? There is no such thing. But we do know God, and he promises that his peace that passes all understanding is freely given to us. So my dear friends, no matter where you are in the discouragement continuum, I ask you to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Allow him to minister to your heart. If there is any way that I can serve you and your family, my family prays for yours regularly, but we will pray very specifically if you'll let us know how. Come to the Hangout Thursday night. Tell us what's going on in your life so that we can all gather around you virtually and pray. And then come back next week as we will actually be talking a little bit more fun about summer school and what that looks like in a homeschool context. So I pray that this has been something of an encouragement. I really encourage you to get into God's Word, build that biography of God, swim in Philippians and every other passage in between, because God's Word is sufficient for every situation that you find yourself in. Go find the answers.